Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah.
Pat Babbitt, welcome for the third year in a row to this special intro edition of Self-Esteem Party New Year Prediction. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm staring into the crystal ball. I'm ready to make my 2022 prediction.
Now, wait, let's review.
Let's review.
We got to go back. So for those who have not heard, Pat comes on at the beginning of the year in January and makes his prediction for what he thinks the year is going to be. The first year was 2020, and it was 2020 year in decline. Keep in mind, he made this prediction in January, and the shutdown and everything didn't happen until March. 100% correct that year. 100%.
I couldn't have been more right. I couldn't have called it better. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life.
It was absolutely, in terms of victories, 100%, my man.
Also set me up with a lot of pressure for the next year.
That's right. However, in 2021, you said 2021, a better bad. That was correct.
That was also correct. That was a bit more vague, but I do think that we did live with the coronavirus in a better way. A lot of us got vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I did not.
Not yes, really you did. just so everybody knows, yes, you did. Absolutely
so,
not.
We all learned to live with the coronavirus in a better way. So mm-hmm. I do think, and it was still very bad.
It was so bad.
But it was a better bad than 2020.
It was a better bad. I had said to Norm, it was especially like, it was kind of messed up because a lot of like really big bad events happen, but like the in-between was better. The learning to live with COVID and also just like the vaccine, you're like, okay, great. I still have to remember this is a good thing. The booster is a good thing. That's better than where it was the year before. But if this was just a year isolated as is, bad year.
Bad year. Very bad year.
But because we were comparing it to a year in decline.
That's right.
A better bad year.
That's like when you get out of a bad relationship and your next relationship is also bad, but it's not nearly as bad as the first one.
Oh my God, Pat, you're in a relationship with the 2000s. The 2020s.
That's right. I love my wife.
You are in a relationship. Okay.
All right. Wait, so, okay, yeah, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because this is, you put some thought into it. I'm coming in, I have a little hashtag I'm going to be premiering and debuting for the year, but yours, you are the motto and the mantra man.
I'm sorry, what is this hashtag? Is this going to be getting in the way of my hashtag?
You know what,
hashtag?
Let me get mine out of the way. So my personal hashtag, 2022, hashtag express less. Which means to be less expressive in my face.
Oh, this is for you.
This is just for me. That's why I said a personal hashtag. Express less, to be less expressive in my face. Wow. To which your wife, Jackie, had said immediately, I'm going to book way more. She was like, you're going to book so much. First words out of her mouth.
Jackie, my lovely wife, is the queen of her acting. Her acting style is dead face.
Yes,
she says.
And she books so
much. She says, if you're ever in a commercial audition, you need to never use your face for anything except quietly saying the lines they give you.
Yes, and she's right.
And I think it's very tough to have dead face. So this makes sense. Express less.
And emotionally as well to express less.
Do you think you or I are capable of that?
No. But it's the goal. It's okay. The hashtag.
Yes, I agree.
I already was practicing in the mirror. Like right now, I'm trying to control my forehead as we speak, and I can feel it moving.
Yeah.
I'm actively trying to speak without my forehead.
Her eyebrows are going up and down like Groucho Marx.
At an alarming rate, guys.
It's like, and this is her trying to keep them still. This is bad.
But that was it. Express less. So that's a personal hashtag, but not a prediction. Personal hashtag. But I'm glad I got that out of the way because I needed
hashtag,
to announce it.
Express less.
And I should say, before we get carried away, because I will be introing our guests, this is another pre-recorded episode previous to the holiday. So before, yeah, so if
so,
I don't
so
get into
one
a lot
that
of personal
coming,
things.
They're going to listen to is before the holidays?
Yes, and now this is post New Year's. Our okay. little intro here, as we always record.
So
after.
You're going. So they, you won't be able to tell everybody what you got for Christmas. Is there anything that you want to talk about now?
Hard cold cash, baby.
All right, great.
All right, Babbitt, let's get into it.
All right, so I was, you know, I do feel a lot of pressure about this. I do feel nervous. I do want to get it right when I do these predictions. And so everything really changed 2 weeks ago when the entire world caught the Omicron variant.
Yes, at the same time.
I thought I was a bit more optimistic going into this year. If we had been making this prediction like around Thanksgiving, I would probably be feel a bit better. But I started writing down slogans. I started writing down hashtags. A lot of them are really nihilistic. In nature. I was like, could we do, like, you can't say it because this is a audio medium, but I was like, should the shrug emoji be the hashtag of the year?
Hashtag for you.
A hashtag shrug.
Personal, you're allowed.
Let's talk. I need your help on this. Let's talk this out.
Let's talk it out.
I don't really have any idea firmly how this year is going to go. I think it is also going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Based off the past 6 weeks and the Omicron variant, and wondering if another variant is going to happen again, and we're going to be having to live in a whole other phase of this whole thing we're going
100%
through.
Yes.
And this phase is the first time where I'm just like, I've just had it up to here.
Yeah.
Where everybody's so over it, but we also got to be safe for those people with immune deficiencies and whatnot.
Yeah.
So anyway, I that's why I'm just like, I think it's going to be tough, but I think we're getting better at dealing with a tougher life.
Okay.
Which is very similar to a better bad, though. I'm having trouble. I think it's just like, so here are the two options.
Okay. Because I have a word popping ahead. I want to hear your two options, but something popped into my head.
Here was what I was originally going to go with.
And this is previous to the last.
No, this is like, we're recording this at New Year's. I came up with this, say, on the 20th. December.
Right before holidays.
So right before holidays, Omicron was in the air, but it wasn't like, oh, wow, I know 10 people that got it. Yeah. So it was, it can't get worse, right?
Oh, I love it.
And I think it's comma, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This isn't going to get worse, right?
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking.
But.
But then 10 days later, I was thinking it's, and this is not much of a, this is more of a mantra, less of a prediction.
Okay.
But it's 2022, fuck it.
Fuck it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Can I tell you why I think that's it? And it is a prediction because Norm had asked me what's my personal 2022 going to be about, where I did come up with hashtag express less. But he asked me what it was going to be about, and I said, I have no idea. I really don't know. I said this to Mo Welch, classic friend of the podcast and each other.
Air One.
Air One. Shots at Air One. And we have the bag to prove it, actually.
We do.
So, sorry, Mo, stop telling people otherwise. We know you shop there. We have the bag. You gave it to me. Now I have the bag. I gave it to Pat. He gave it back.
That's right.
Okay.
$20 truffle oil.
It's the sisterhood of the traveling bag. Okay.
That's right.
But, I told her this as well, that I didn't know. I was like, I have no idea. And she was like, you know what? That fuck it attitude, if you really don't care, is going to get you far. So that in combination with my express less face, I'm going to be career-wise through the roof. But the fuck it of it all is, to me, the caring about things. I think we need to act accordingly.
Right.
Like, I think we need to follow rules and regulations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about acting out. I mean, like, caring about things, like things that are stupid and don't matter. Like if your friend's mad at you and you're like, I didn't even do anything, you're like, fuck it. I don't even, yeah. I'm so done with this. And to emotionally allow almost a bit of defeat. I don't want to say that, but to accept that there's a bit of defeat right now. Like there is, and I'm not trying to be like
Well,
negative.
I think there's a bit of defeat. And for me, for the past 2 years, have been kind of operating on the like, well, you know, you need to give yourself a break because we're in this pandemic. And you need, and I'm like, well, for me now, it's also fuck it. Like, all right, act accordingly, but you got to get through this muck of this world.
Yes.
And you got to start trying to live your life maybe you did before. Well, actually, probably for me, better than I did before quarantine.
Yes.
But, you know, like, this might be bad. This might continue to be bad. Let's, like, have...
We got to
make the world as good as you can with these stringent...
Okay, so you're kind of saying it... Okay, wait. I'm misunderstanding. I think I get it now. You're kind of saying of like, fuck it, we must go on.
Yeah, kind of. I think it's like... I do think that. I don't think it's fuck it, why even try? I think it's the opposite.
Okay, so I thought it was a fuck it, why even try, which guess what? I was all about. But the fuck it in the terms of like, let's keep going and let's get it down to a classic good mantra that we can repeat. There's nothing clunky. I like fuck it. And then what of like, it, like a, what's a keep on trucking type, like keep moving or like,
yeah,
fuck it,
fuck
move
it,
forward.
What's next?
Fuck it. What's next?
Fuck it in my West Wing. I've been watching a lot of West Wing. Fuck it. What's next? I don't know. I don't know. This is number one on self-help podcasts on all the apps.
Thank you.
I haven't written my book yet. I don't know mantras.
Well, fuck it. You should.
Yeah. So what do you think? Fuck it.
Okay. What about, okay. Oh, I've got a juicy one. Oh my God. I think you might like this one.
I'm excited.
2022. Fuck it. We're back, baby.
Fuck it. We're back, baby. Yeah. I like that.
High five it.
Here we go.
Yo.
Fuck it. We are back, baby.
We're back, baby. That's it. Because you're saying
both of us get
back
COVID
to life.
Within the next,
I mean,
3 days.
Right? Of course. But it's like, we got to get back to life. Even if you have COVID. And like,
yeah,
if you're not sick in bed, you're like, okay, I got to figure out.
I do think that is like, there's the positive.
Take care of things.
I've never taken a philosophy class in my life, but nihilism of like, none of this fucking matters. We're all going to die someday.
This is true.
So why not do the most with what you got?
I agree.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Wow. This has a positive spin.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was going to be more of like a back to bad type thing.
Yeah.
But this...
I just don't want to be... I don't want it to be bad anymore.
Okay.
But I don't... But I think it still could be.
But you are going to go... You're going to lead with the semi-prediction of we can take this back. We can be back. We can get back to it. Not in the same way. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. It's not going to look like it did pre-COVID. But it's like we can get back to a better life.
I think we are going to continue to improve upon the life that we set up in 2021, where we did learn to live with it, and we learned to live with it better. I think we're going to continue that, but I don't think it's going to be, the world is going to be better or back to normal.
No, I don't think so either, but I think we personally could, in comparison, which seems to be the theme of the last few years. It's everything is in comparison.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Wow, I love it.
Do you? Is that
I love
enough?
It because it's positive. And I mean, look, when you first said fuck it, I took it to the negative right away. I went, oh my God, you're fucking right. Who gives a shit? And
well,
that is the attitude
I do
have.
That there is part of that too.
Well,
like, I do
think, I mean,
think
a little,
that
yeah.
It's like, okay, the negative is like, fuck it, we're all gonna get sick, everything is bad. What are you going to... Okay, now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with that life?
Yeah.
I don't know.
With
hard.
What's left.
So, anyway, I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to let you get on with your... your episode.
My busy evening. yes, we do have a fantastic episode ahead. Pre-record, as I had mentioned, previous to the holidays. But my guest and I do talk about an upcoming show of theirs. Which I believe I think it's on the 7th or the 9th. We talk about it in the episode. So stay tuned for that. And Pat, thank you so much for joining
thank
me.
Thank you
for our
so much.
Yearly gonna... New Year prediction 2022. Fuck it. We're back, baby.
Fuck it. We're back, baby.
And I cannot wait to see how this pans out.
All right. Talk to you next year.
Not a moment before. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Evan Maynard right after this break.
Oh!
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Ever welcome to the biggest podcast in my house. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Honestly, great. We've been, full disclosure, guys, we've been chatting previous to this recording. We're in
sorry.
It. Sorry, but we had to start because too much was coming out. So we had to get started on the recording finally.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's so nice, and it's so nice to catch up. Like, oh my God, it's been, well, with everybody, really, it's been so long, but even I hadn't seen you previous to everything shutting down and pandemic and everything. So
I think it was
really
before December 2019.
Yeah, it was before. I know it was.
Because I remember Steph Tolov had a birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I saw you randomly. But it was before, yeah, so it's been two years.
I've changed.
Lots happened.
I have these glasses.
Yeah.
My hair's long.
New place.
Yeah, that's
got
it.
Got a dog.
Four things.
And then thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
So here's how we like to start the podcast. Okay. We like to do a self-esteem party check-in. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about your self-esteem now, about yourself, just in general?
I think that's a mixed bag because in general, I usually feel pretty good about myself. Mm-hmm. But I will say these past couple months, my self-esteem has dipped. And then it rises up. We're going to talk about top surgery and a few. We'll get to that. And that has part of something to do with the mixed bag of self-esteem.
Okay.
I had lost weight. And slowly through heartache, have gained it back.
Right.
And it's like our self-esteem should not at all be tied to our weight. But it just, you know, it feels weird to be like, I can only wear this pair of pants.
Oh my God.
And it doesn't feel good. It was like,
Ever.
Oh, what happened?
I had an eating disorder. You're talking to someone whose whole life is weight.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. We love bringing it up.
Okay, great. Yeah. So like, that's been hard. And also with like body dysmorphia.
Yes.
Like, and going like.
It's worse than the weight. The body dysmorphia is even worse because
At
least weight, there's a number and you can visually see you've lost. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, 5 pounds is off. I can see a number. But then you look in the mirror and you're seeing the exact same as with that 5 pounds on. So you're like, what was the fucking point in losing the 5 pounds?
Come on. Yeah.
Right?
And also like, I've always seen this image of my body as masculine in my head. And like when I was a kid, even as an adult, even right now. And I used to always base my workouts, and this is going to sound so silly, but for a male superhero, like in a comic. And I'd be like, I want those thighs. I want those quads. I want those biceps. I want that girl to love me. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds so weird, but
I don't think it does.
Okay. So now I'm finally having top surgery, but I'm so like, I'm heavy in my skin. I'm heavy in my belly right now.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm worried. So at first I was like, I can lose this amount of weight in 3 months. And I haven't, and that's fine. Like, you know, again, like we'll get to this. I mean, we're skimming the surface. We will get to it. But now it's like, I'm going to have the chest, the flat chest, but will my body with the weight that it has gained match? Like, it's a lot. It is quite emotional to realize like I'm going to have my breast removed. You know, like,
yeah.
And have pecs, and I have to decide where I want my nipples to go.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then the incision type, I just found this out.
Yeah.
So
that's a big decision.
It's a big, cause I'm like, well, I don't know what where my male nipples should be. Cause
where's Norm?
I know, like Norm taking off, but like, they're going to resize my areolas. Like, I'm worried about, like, what if they shrivel off?
Yeah, so do you just, like, pick a picture and show them a reference photo?
Well, the surgeon will do it to, one, my body, the shape of my pecs.
God, so, of what, after reducing, of, like, how it would not, quote-unquote, naturally fall into, like,
right.
Where it would fall
into place. So she'll know where it is.
Okay.
So we kind of talked about that already.
Mm-hmm.
On getting top surgery, my self-esteem is a 10. And we'll say that. I'm so excited. That story, do you believe in the universe, like giving you signs and spirituality?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe in like life death. But like, do I agree with like things lining up? And if you open your mind, you can see more clues than you think you can.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. So I also noticed I was averting my eyes when I talked about my weight. I feel shame, and it's like, I should not feel shame about my body. I should be living in it and enjoying life.
Also, you're sitting down. I can't say anything.
Yeah, tight.
you can say whatever you want, and I'd have to believe you.
Yeah, but you know, like it is like, oh, why do I feel this shame against my body? Does it have to do with my butch identity? Does it have to do with a masculine identity that I carry? But you know, when they do the top surgery, I was kind of talking about this. I was like, what about my nipples? And like, should I be, when I go to the gym now, like I do a lot of chest exercises that you see men, like mainly men do.
Yeah.
To build all of this under muscle.
Yeah.
Because once the tissue is removed, you're left with just muscle. And she was like, the more work you do, the bigger your muscles.
Yeah.
So they're going to, and when I'm out, when I'm passed out, they're going to recline me up to see how the skin hangs.
Ah.
And then they place the nipples.
So that makes so much sense. Putting you up.
So it's not just like bop. It's not just like right there. So it'll go with my body, the flow of my body.
But then the whole point is your body is not flowing the way your body would normally flow right now. Like the weight wise, where you're like, I was had this in mind and now it looks like this. Can I say a few things?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I don't know how top surgery works, like how long recovery. I guess it's different for everybody's, you know, because it's all different bodies.
It'll be about a month before I can really start moving my hands.
Okay.
And some people say you're not supposed to reach above your head for 6 months. Some say 3. I think it's pain tolerance at that point.
Got it. But slowly.
Slowly, because you're going to have like scars, right? And then internal stitches that dissolve. Your body, my body will be in shock.
Yeah. You don't want to tear or something.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Okay.
But, you know, I'm sure that I'll be able to take long walks, right? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead.
So let's talk weight.
Okay.
This is doesn't matter, you know, where you roll. This is a fact. When you have a bigger chest, you overall look bigger. This is a fact because it's physically more weight on you. That's discouraging. If they're big, you're not seeing your stomach, your waist definition. Mm-hmm. That's a fact, right? Like I notice when I gain weight, my boobs get bigger, which I'm like, oh, bigger boobs. But then I'm like, oh, but I also overall look bigger because all of it gained weight. When you, and this is just a visual guess I have, when that's gone, because a portion of your body, of your weight has been removed.
I mean, the scale's going to go down.
But seriously, it actually might motivate you because you can finally see the very beginning of that superhero body and you can see it possible. Like the problem is when we have that excess weight, that's all we can see. If overnight somebody goes, bye-bye, 10 pounds, bye-bye, like whatever, right? And I don't even mean on the scale. I just mean like visually. That makes you go, oh, okay, I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, in one day, you're going to be halfway there.
Halfway there.
You know what I mean?
Two, I'm worried about like my belly. Like now, I'm like, oh, my belly, I'm going to have like a flat chest and then I'm going to have a beer gut.
Oh, and I think about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Like,
I did not think about that.
So it's like, it's going to be, you know, like flat and then beer gut. It's like, not that there's anything wrong. Again, like, I don't look at other people and go, gross.
All of this talk is just about you. Everybody listening knows that. I have so many people reach out. We're talking about weight. We're talking about whatever. And it's like, nobody's reaching out being like, Elena, don't worry. You have a great body. Everyone's going, I totally understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's nice. It isn't like, I think I've started to realize what toxic positivity is. You look great. Don't worry about it. You should just be happy. It's like, you're not hearing me.
It's not like you're being like, I hate myself, I wish I were dead. You're going, I've gained weight. And someone's like, what are you talking about? Well, I don't know, maybe the fucking scale I just got on.
Maybe this. Also, like, not to sound like a snob, but I bought like a very, so I was losing weight and this trouser went on sale and it was one size less that I'd been. So I used to be like 32, 34, right?
Okay, yeah. I'm in the range. Yeah,
like 34 was like a little bit on the heavier side, and now I'm like close to a 38, 40. So I'm in the biggest I've really ever been.
Me too.
And it feels, and it's different, right, in your skin because you're like movement feels different.
Oh my God, I feel like I'm pregnant. Like I feel like my stomach. I feel like it's a brick.
It's a different
brick is
and,
in there.
And it's also like, you know, spatially too, with yeah. your body like hitting a cat. And I'm like, what the fuck? Or like, yeah. okay, yes, I'm tired. I'm tired of people like, you look great. Like, don't worry, it shouldn't matter. And it's like, it matters because I feel different in my body.
But that makes you feel crazy. When someone's like, don't worry, you look the same. Oh,
my God.
It's like, shut up. Shut up. It's like, there's a way. I just had a friend give me a compliment going, well, Alana, I think you look great at any size. And I know you've been different sizes, but to me, it's you carry your proportions, mm-hmm. you carry yourself well. And I went, okay, I accept that compliment You've admitted I've been different sizes. You don't say you look the same. You just say at all the sizes, that's I think nice. You look good. I went, that's a beautiful compliment yeah. that doesn't point out a weight loss or a weight gain. It's yep. just going from what you've told me. I've seen it this way, but it's like your truth is your truth, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, so, and I've had people on the podcast have said it. If you notice the weight loss, you notice the weight gain. So if you're okay. commenting and all of a sudden your comments stop and I'm like, I know I've gained weight.
Right.
Like I know I have because you stop fucking yammering on about it every 30 goddamn seconds. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
thank you for trying to celebrate whatever body. But at the same time, are we going to celebrate this one too?
Right.
Where are we at?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just have to say in this moment, I'm so glad you are on this podcast because you could not have picked a better person to talk about.
Oh, tight. Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, tight. I'm excited too. Like I feel like all the listeners are like, get it out of your mouth. It's interesting because if I could talk about top surgery, right.
I was okay. just about to say I was going to wait
we until danced,
you said, but we dance, but you brought it up. So let's hear it.
Like a couple of things. I have great tits, and I think that if I were allow myself to dress more feminine and be comfortable, and like I don't mean it, like I have great hips,
mm-hmm.
and right now it's a whatever, but when I slim down I'm like, oh, my body is like a nice curvy body, you know, but it's like not the body I want, right? Like I want the male triangle.
But if you were looking at TV or magazines, you're like, in your guys' eyes, this, you but would want to look the like this.
Fucked up part. So since I was 8, mm-hmm. my dad's mother and my dad's sister would be like, you're fat. I'm 8. I'm just a chunky little kid. I'm not fat. 8-year-olds aren't fat. I've also had an ass since I was 8, and I was ashamed with it because people would be like, you're thick. You got a thick ass. When I moved to Chicago, people were like, girl, you're thick. I go by non-binary terms, say them now, but, you know, in Chicago, yes. it was like, you know, whatever. But I have a great ass, and I also, like, did shot put and discus, and that's a lot of, hamstring, quad, butt work.
Yeah, a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I want to keep that. But anyways, like, another thing I'm worried about with like top surgery, trying to get my body right, is like having bigger shoulders and arms and chest and losing this curvy ass waist. I'm talking about flap, like something Candy and I do. We just go whap when we see like our friend, a mutual friend Candy, when we see like
friend of the
podcast. Sometimes we see like a hot chick. Sounds so trashy.
No, it's
we
so
just
funny.
Go, whap. It's so because we do these
as long
characters.
As you're doing it to each other.
Man, we just do these like shitty characters.
Yeah, as long as you're not doing it to
like,
her.
Shit, man. Hell yeah. Whap. So I am recently single, and in kind of like this moment of silence in the apartment, it's interesting when a partner leaves, mm-hmm. and you're left with the space, mm. and it's quiet,
like the living together, like the
yeah,
physical
gone.
Space as
the
well.
Physical, yeah, okay. and also yeah. like you know that whatever. But it was this moment of like just reflecting. And I also do like Buddhist, I try to practice Buddhism as best as I can. And I chant and I practice Maitri meditation, which is all about loving kindness. So I don't know if you've, if I've ever like looked into this, but.
Oh yeah.
That, yeah.
A,
like
I've definitely lots of different types. Of, I didn't take to all of them, but I certainly opened myself up to try different ones and take courses.
It's beautiful. Maitri is all about loving kindness, starting with yourself so that you could love others. So, I was sitting there and I was thinking these thoughts kind of about myself and, you know, other, some, I've had some partners who have been like, don't, you know, if you got this, you would look too gay or, and that was hurtful, right? Yeah.
Like if you did this to your body, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You would look too gay. Don't look too gay.
I didn't realize there was a scale.
I mean,
sorry guys, wasn't aware.
But you know, when you're with someone like that, if who is telling you to
wait, this was your partner?
Not my most recent one, but I've had partners but in partners. The past.
Okay, okay.
People that I've
they're in the past for a reason, because already what you're saying sounds like shit.
But you know, when you're younger and your brain is developing and you're still getting used to your body and maybe your identity, and you're going, maybe I do want to have, and I feel very grateful because top surgery feels like it's more normal now, where a few years ago it wasn't. Even the term non-binary, right?
Yeah.
So having these discussions, I didn't know that was something I could do. I have one of my best friends, Dibs, is older, and they got their top surgery in the early 2000s. People weren't doing that.
No, I literally never even heard of it.
No.
Yeah.
Like it was like, I was like, oh shit. So, and they've been a source of guidance too, and someone who was always like, it will change your life. You will feel so happy. Because I would mention it.
Are they happy with their body?
Oh my God.
Like, comfortable?
Yes. Like, and I would always be like, no, I don't know, man. Not for me, man. I got blah, blah, blah. And it's making all these excuses, right? And then you hear these negative things from people you love. And, you know, my most recent partner, she said some very beautiful things. And it was always like, you know, like if you wanted to do this, that's okay. You know, if you wanted to get top surgery, I would still love, you know, like I would still be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Cause I think she knew, and, I was kind of in denial, right? Like, cause something to think about too is like, I was looking at these people on Instagram, people I don't even know, the algorithm would show it up or, you know, look at this. And I would be like, who do they think they are? Oh, gross. They look so tacky, or like, look at them looking too gay. And I was like, oh, that's not from me. That's like another thought. And that's also a thought that society puts on us, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's a whole other gender queer discourse that we could have, especially about butch identity too.
But you're talking about two different things, because you're also talking about relationship of like emotional abuse or manipulation or whatever. It's like, so you're talking about two very powerful big subjects.
Yeah. So I was sitting there and I was looking at these photos, and
sorry, is this photos of like top surgeries?
Top surgery.
Got it.
People like having top surgery and living, just looking so happy. So, and then I was like, but there's still like, this is going to sound so hateful, and I'm ashamed that I've said this. But I was like, but they're still or they're, look at how scrawny they still are, like judging their bodies still.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's okay, dude. It's a nasty thing. Everybody's done it, and everybody's.
Yeah. It didn't feel good.
Regrets it.
It didn't feel good. And then I said, why do I feel this way? Well, I resent that they have it. And then I was like, well, why do I resent that they have that? And I went, 'cause I don't. Yeah. And when you have, I, when I tell you I cried, I was sobbing, because it is hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I want this.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What will it mean? Right. And I think that the universe put me on a journey to do this alone. I also meditate, and I've seen other visions where I am walking alone, but I'm strong instead of walking alone and scared. And it's like, I'm entering a new phase of my life, and it's very exciting. I'm entering my authentic body. And I said, I want this. And it felt like a relief.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm changing my body. I'm changing myself. I'm,
Are you changing yourself or are you becoming yourself?
I'm becoming myself, right?
And so this is sounds,
physically changing myself.
Yeah.
But
it's like, I think for you as well, this is, it's the second time in your, like with coming out and stuff, it's the second time that you're like, society gives you a thought and how something has right. to be. And then you're like, okay, yes, yes. But then you're like, yeah, but something about the way you guys are saying it isn't sticking with me. Like right. something feels feel off. Yeah. Something doesn't feel right. So then it's like, you have that journey to be like, oh, wait a minute. Turns out I have these preferences in life. So you're like, okay, great. But then to have a big life thing
one. And
that's
yes.
like money and surgery and a really big decision. That's a lot.
It's huge. And I'll tell you this too. I don't know what it's like in Canada, but in America, you have to get a therapist to write you a letter. And I am clinically diagnosed with F 64.1 in the medical book, the CDM. I think that's what it is. It's dual transvestism, which is disgusting, right? Your face, it's shock.
I've never heard this.
You're diagnosed with a gender dysphoria. It's like, there's nothing wrong with me. And also the term transvestism, like just unupdated from the 1800s, you know, like, what? Like, it was shocking.
I understand
like, I'm a billable code.
Yeah, I understand the association with a therapist and stuff because it's a big decision. Of course, counseling. Yeah. Of course, I have no... In fact, I think that's a fantastic idea.
You should absolutely...
The diagnosis, this is insane. Yeah.
You have to get a diagnosis to
Why
have
can't
this.
Someone just say, like, yes, mentally they're sound and they have thought exactly. this through and this... Like, I don't understand why it has to be, like, a code because it's a code.
Right, because like, if you're getting liposuction, insane. You're not getting a diagnosis. If you're getting lip injections, you're not getting... If you're getting breast implants,
walk in anywhere. And
yeah,
go get
hello.
It.
I'm gonna
Two
go
seconds,
get some
they're
fillers
not even checking
next
your
week.
ID. Yes. Like, are you fucking kidding me? It's a joke.
It's a joke. Like, it's a joke. So,
and they should have to do that. Like, if you breast implants is like, it's just so interesting. Where it's like, yeah, we can breeze through that, but mm-hmm. you're like, excuse me, that's body altering.
Right.
That's like a whole thing.
Right. Like, hello.
I'm just doing the opposite, but it's all with breasts, guys. We're all like, you know what I mean? We're just changing the sizes here. So it's like,
I mean, hello,
but that's not, wow. And I'm sorry. I hope my face didn't throw you. I never heard that.
Threw me. Because I was like, what does this code mean? It was bothering me because even on the website, like the surgeon's website, we're like, we do take insurance, but this is what you need. And then
you need to degrade. You need to put yourself through this terrible labeling.
Yeah, and it didn't feel terrible. Good. And it was like, and also I felt grateful that I did have the resource of like, I started therapy in August for the first time in my life. And like, at first I was like, I can't tell my therapist this. And then my therapist was like, why can you not tell me this? Why did you not feel that way?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't know. And she was like, I'm your therapist.
Literally the yeah, one, this person is one person to tell.
I'm gonna
wow, say. That's so interesting. I'm really happy your therapist. It's not that they make you feel silly. It's just when they say something so simplified that you feel a little silly because you're like,
and then it was like,
yeah, why didn't they say it? But they're not trying to make you feel that way. But when something is put so simply, you're like, oh yeah, I pay you to talk.
Yes. Reflect me, okay.
But can I just get the order?
Okay.
Is it you had made the decision, then started therapy, and then slowly told them?
No,
I
started therapy, decided I wanted to do this,
started
looking into it, and I feel very lucky. Insurance will pay for the surgeon, which is nice.
America?
For most of the surgeon, it's paying for that. But it's not like... it's TBD if it's going to pay for the hospital, the anesthesiologist.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it.
Medical, yeah.
Because
I'm raising money. I'm raising money right now.
You'll have to tell us at the end, and we'll tag that as well, because people really do on this podcast follow up with stuff like that. But it's like...
$20,000.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Up front.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I got a surgery on my cervix, and three, actually. And... First of all, on the day, I had my insurance was like, we're covering it in full. I was like, what a laugh. on the day, they're like, okay, great. So that's $3,000. And I was like, excuse me. Literally, I'm about to walk into surgery. They're like, it's $3,000. And I was like, I didn't know that. They said it was covered. And they're like, oh, but that only covers blank, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I had to pay anesthesiology, all this stuff. For a free surgery, I paid over $10,000 for a free surgery. Mm-hmm. So you have to do 20 up front.
20 up front. That's what the hospital, they said, prepare for 20 up front.
Well, 20 up happy front. To donate.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because that's fucking insane.
Disgusting.
To be yourself? $20,000 for 20 you to grand. Be yourself?
I mean, it's like, I'll take out a small loan because I'll be happy the rest of my life. What do I care? I'm paying.
No, we whatever. Can raise that.
Yeah. I'm close. So that's good.
We can raise
but, you know, so I made that decision and I started looking up the top kind of like transgender surgeons and people that do that. And I found the Crane Center. My good friend Dibs was like, I got it done at the Crane Center. You should look.
Which is good because that's successful and everything. Yeah. So that's good to have the word of mouth.
Word of mouth. And then I found they were approved. And then I found that the center in Austin had the surgeon I wanted. And I was like, this makes the most sense. I can see my parents. And I was on a wait list. So I did a new patient. So this is what's crazy. This is how I know the universe is like, you are absolutely supposed to get this. Like, you have to. Like, okay. So this was in August. I said, I want this. 1st of September, it was scary. You know, I want this. Well, it's not, you know, like when people talk about manifesting, it's not being like, oh, I really want this. It's action afterwards, right? To put yourself in positions to receive.
Yeah, you're not just going to wake up in surgery.
Be like, here it is. Like, you have to do the steps,
hey,
right?
Hey, anybody here want a free surgery today?
Oh, it's actually $10,000, but it is free. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Fuck.
So I said, I want this. I called and I did the new patient form and they said, great. Your consultation is in April 2022.
Holy crap.
And then I said,
consultation.
Oh, consultation. After the consultation, it's another 3 to 6 months. Wait. So I wasn't supposed to have my top surgery for about 9 months. So probably May, June, maybe August of 2022. And I said, well, I don't want that. Like, I want it while I have insurance with work.
Yeah.
So I called. I said, what can be done? They're like, well, we'll try to expedite it. And I said, okay. And then I called again, like the next week. And they're like, you know what? Send us an email every month and then call once a month. I said, okay. The next month I sent an email and then I called the next day and they said, actually, can you have a consultation tomorrow at 8 a.m. or 6 a.m.? I said, absolutely.
Oh my God.
I met with a surgeon. She said, great. Here we go. Submit your insurance. My therapist had already pre-written the letter because I sent her all the documents and sent that in. They said, great, insurance makes us wait 90 days, 3 months before we can operate. You're operating January 28th. So,
oh my fucking God.
So it was like, of course this was supposed to happen. Like, of course.
Literally 1,000 times easier than the system in place. Which, by the way, for anybody that's been through this and had to go through this system, this sounds so like a fucking crock of shit.
Yeah.
I am sorry. That sounds like a crock of shit.
It's a crock of shit. It's a crock of shit. So then, get this. My mom, again, I'm from a town of like 900 people, right?
Right.
Rural Texas. I'm very grateful and very fortunate, and I don't take it for granted that my parents are so like loving, but my mom called me at 7 a.m. on a Friday. My alarm went off. Then the phone rang. And I was like, somebody died. Right? Like, why is my mom calling me so early?
Yeah, my mom's not allowed to call me because she bugs me too much. So when she does call me, I also think someone has died. And then she's like, so, anyone from Costco? And I'm like,
okay. I want to go to bed from Costco.
Yeah, I don't care about Costco.
Like, yeah, I'll tell you what I want. A bed.
Okay, so she calls.
Earplugs. So she goes, I keep having dreams. And she calls them talking to her angels. She's highly intuitive.
Okay.
To a point that's...
A bit
like,
much.
Yeah, well, okay. Like... She'll also like, oh, your grandfather came to me in a dream. I do believe she's like very special. And anyways, she goes, I keep having these dreams where you're deeply sad. I didn't really talk to her about my depression. And she was like, you're deeply sad, but there's a secret you're not telling me. And
I have chills.
Yeah. I was like, what? She goes, and I hadn't announced it. I'd only told Candy, friend of the podcast, Candy.
Friend of the podcast.
And
friend of the self-esteem party live show as well.
Hello. I said, okay. I started shaking. And, you know, my therapist and I, we had practiced what to say, right?
I've done that so
like, dear man.
To tell my mom fast. I've been bulimic for 6 years? Yeah, ooh, I practiced.
Hard. Yeah,
you got to practice.
And then, yeah, it's like at a point, yes. So we rehearsed it. And one of the things that stuck in my mind, you know, Nina was like, well, why are you afraid to tell your parents? I was like, what if they don't love me? And mm-hmm. she was like, so, and she goes, okay. So then we start practicing. And she was like, have they given you any? And I was like, no, like any indication. So all the practice went out the window when my mom was like, what are you not telling me? I started bawling. I was like, I don't know how to tell you this. I just feel like you and dad won't look at me the same or love me the same. I need to tell you something. And she goes, you don't have to say another word. We know that your outsides don't match your insides.
I cannot even
tell you. Her.
That's exceptional.
She just knew. And to say it, and it sounds very plain, but...
And you could have said anything. It could have been any secret. We all have a million secrets from our parents.
She was like, we know, we love you. And I was like, well, I'm having top surgery. If you have questions, you can ask, but I'm having my breast removed. And she was like, we want you to be so happy. I told her, like, I couldn't look in the mirror. Like, sometimes I'll look in the mirror after the shower. I cry. Like, it's, I cry, you
know?
Like,
of course.
What are these on my chest? Like, I'm showering. And then I, you know, we don't see the front of our, and then you're in the mirror and you're like, oh, these are breasts. But she was like, we want you to be happy in your body. We want you to feel good.
Yeah.
And when I tell you I started bawling, like I've never cried out of happiness and relief. And it just felt like it was one of the most, I'm going to start tearing up, but it was probably one of the most beautiful moments of my life was when my mother kind of, oh no, I'm crying.
It's okay.
When my mother so plainly took the anxiety and apprehension and the fear from me in such a loving way. I mean, we talked on the phone for 30 minutes and it was a beautiful gift.
Oh,
like,
God. You're so lucky. I'm so happy you got to have this. I'm so sorry. No, don't apologize. We love crying on the podcast. I'm so glad you got to have this experience because now it's like you never have to think about it again. You just don't have to think about it.
It was just so beautiful and like...
What an amazing mom.
I don't take it for granted because I know so many people who have not lived through that. And then, you know, my mom ended the conversation. She was like, if anybody has... I feel like she just learned the word fuck, but she was like... She was like, if anybody has something to say, fuck them. Like, it's none of their business. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel. She was like, that's how I feel.
Yeah, well, listen. And you hadn't told anybody but Candy, who is a very trustworthy friend and non-judgmental friend.
What's Candy going to do? Call my mom?
Yeah, exactly. and guess what? It'll go well. And but it's like, it's just so nice that it's like, you know, your mom said it's not anyone's business because you had made the choice to not tell anybody yet. Because first of all, it's not anybody's fucking business.
It's my own body.
I'll tell you, even in the bad things I've done to my body, it still was no one's business. I'll tell you when it's time to tell you, if it's ever time to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, obviously this is a visual thing, so we would have noticed at some point. But it's like, I'm so glad that you felt that comfort because your mom could have said... You're keeping a secret from me. And you could have said no, and that would have been it. You could have said, I'm tired, and you could have gone back to bed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really could have gone back to bed.
Oh, she would not have let me. She'd be like...
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, she'd be like, okay, well, I'm here when you want to tell me. And then every, you know, like, hey, I'm just checking in.
How amazing, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. You guys got to check out Ever's Instagram, and here's why. You do these videos with your mom.
She's an
where
actual.
Your mom, you... provoke your mom and then you say it's not an issue and your mom says it is an issue. Mm-hmm. So how amazing that this was brought to the table and it truly was not an issue for the first time.
It was not an issue.
Your mom's always going, like, it is an issue.
It's not an issue. And we get in these huge, like, and we'll do it publicly. I will say the star of the show, people don't know this because I cut this part out. It's my dad because... He has a very dry sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
So he'll film us, and then all of a sudden he pans over to, like, if we're in the grocery store, like a gallon of milk. Like, it's so dry where he's just like showing the audience that we're screaming, or like a woman's reaction. Or like one day, one video I was throwing pomegranates at my mom, which sounds insane, but yeah. These are insane.
No, you
got to
see the videos. It makes
sense.
She's
screaming at me, and I'm like screaming that I wanted to be a magician. It's all improvised. Like, and she's, her timing is brilliant. And then I'm chunking these things, and then my dad just pans to the pomegranate tree. And it's so funny. Like, he's so funny. And then I'm like, Dad, just film us, you know, like a little brat. But
my favorite one was when you were hacking away at the tree with the axe. Like, ever stop it. You're going to hurt yourself.
And then she's like pulling out the knife. I was like, Mom, it's too far. But my mom might be there. At the surgery, she might be the one of the persons picking me up and caretaking.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to ask, yeah. Because you said Austin. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to ask is your parents' house part of the recovery plan, or what's the situation?
45 minutes away. Okay. So at first I was like, I'll just get a group of like friends, right?
Right.
And it's like right after the new year, it's in the middle of the week. Like, I would need somebody there Thursday through like Sunday, right?
Literally wide open, but go on.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to come.
I just want to see the guest list.
Like, well, I get it, and I'm not upset. But at first, I was like, I'll get an Airbnb, and like, we'll recover there and watch movies. And then now I'm like, you know what? I'll get a hotel or a nice Airbnb. I think I'm gonna fly in on the 20th. I have pre-op the 24th. I have to get like a shit ton of COVID tests.
Right, of course.
So I'm going to be quarantining. Like,
yeah, even more complicated.
And then my surgery is at 7:30 in the morning. So I'm going to have to report probably at like, what, 6:45, 7?
I had to get to mine 2 hours before. Yeah. At least.
At least. So I'm going to spend the night in Austin.
Yeah.
Have the surgery. And I think maybe stay 2 days after, right?
Okay.
Cause I don't want to be jostled around in a pickup truck.
No.
And then, then I go back a week later and they take off the bandages. So my mom more than likely will be there with me and my Aunt Kathy.
Okay.
But
for right after
both. So right after so somebody has to pick me up.
You just gave me a panic attack. Cause I thought you meant you're going to go by yourself for 2 days.
Can't.
And I was like, I really don't like this idea.
No. I'm not going to be able to wipe my own butt.
That's why I was like, did you see my face? And I was like, I'm trying not to tell you what to do, but I was like, I don't think this is a good idea.
No, it would be like my mom and my Aunt Kathy and I, like, okay. Like getting a hotel or like a little Airbnb and
great.
Like,
great.
Okay. But I do want to do issues at the unwrapping.
Oh, ever.
Which would be so fucking funny, and then not tell the nurses or the surgeon. And just have them lose it.
I hate to say it.
But would be so funny.
But you have to do it.
It's and the I jackass hate,
as a comic
mother child. It's
as a comic, you have to do it. It's like something that like you could put in a TV show later, like save the footage type thing.
Yeah.
As a human being, it is such a bad idea.
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
It's such a bad idea.
Just but having like my mom be like, what are you doing? It's not an issue. I'm taking off the
gun. Oh my God. Like, and like, who's going to, people might intervene. Like, it's a right. commitment though. If you're going to do it, this is your comedic top surgery. If you're going
right,
to do it, you have to do it. You have to do it.
They don't even look real. Like,
yeah, you know what? You might be out of it. So maybe you should put together like a writer's room, a punch up room for people to have the one liners for you to say, because you might be out of it.
I'm not going to do it right after the surgery. I'm going to do it. So the surgery happens. And they stitch you up, and then you're wearing this tight binder. I don't think I'll have – there's different types with drains that drains the fluid. I think I'm getting the one that doesn't have drains, because I had to watch a bunch of videos they sent me, and they're like, no drains. And I'm like, I guess I got smaller chest, but that's not a problem. Okay. So they wrap you real tight because –
for infection to prevent and everything.
And so, you know, things heal, like, because it's gaping.
Right.
And then you got to reattach the nipples, right? So you don't want your nipples to fall off. So you got those kind of stitched on and got the thing. And it's like a real tight thing. And like, everybody that I'm talking to is like, you can't breathe and it's so hard. So you're in that for a week. And then so
you really can't move around. You can't move. Do anything.
So the surgery is the 28th. Post-op is February 4th, I think, or 2nd. And that's when they take the bandages off and they do the reveal.
And this is where we're going to do the video. Yeah. Copy that.
Right.
The video is going to blow up in your face and it's going to be so worth it. You're going to get a nasty reaction out of a nurse. Someone's going to be really mad at your mom.
Well, I think
your mom doesn't care. She's not going to see anybody again.
My mom is not going to be like, it's an issue about me getting top surgery. We'll make it an issue about something else. Because it's
you'll clarify that though, clearly in the video, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure like I'll do something to provoke my mom about like, maybe wearing the gown wrong or doing it myself. Funny. Or we'll see what happens. So we'll go in. I'm like, we're going to make it an issue. And sometimes these videos just start off with me screaming it's not an issue. And my mom will say it's an issue. And then like if I have something in my hand and she doesn't like it, or if I've pulled something out of like whatever, then we'll build on it and we'll riff. But sometimes they do get... I do push my mom's buttons and I know I'm in trouble and I should stop.
Yeah, me but too. Because my mom goes along with jokes and then I always go too far. Like always. I can't help it. Can I just say?
Yes, say it.
Maybe I'm a terrible comic, but I thought it was you guys were going to do it's not an issue about the top surgery. And I was like, you have to do it.
I mean, would be funny. My mom would.
But your mom.
No, I couldn't do that to
never,
my
mom. You can't do that to your mom. You can't do that to my mom. You can't do that. She'll never bounce back from that one. It'll be the end of the series.
No. And also, like, here's the deal. When TikTok came out, I started putting all these videos on TikTok and like over Christmas holiday. And they were getting, like, I wish I would have kept them as, like, you know, like, whatever, comics. And now we know the commodity of TikTok, right? Yes. And social media.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of views on these videos. But people would be like, that mom, who's that mom, blah, blah. And I didn't know these were just people chiming in, right?
Yeah.
But because I was so protective of my mom.
You deleted it.
I deleted all the videos, the entire app, my profile. And now, like, I'm like, oh, I wish, because now when you reload, they're not the same. I don't know, because, like,
I don't know
anything about TikTok. Yeah, I don't know. It's bad, yeah.
Me neither. Yeah. But I definitely had to stop, like, because I used to talk about my parents a lot more on stage, and I definitely had to stop because I was like, you know, if my mom heard this, it would really hurt her feelings. And she comes to shows and she like keeps tabs on me. Like she's banned from listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's mom, if you're listening, stop it. But it's like, she is banned from listening to the podcast because I'm like, the things that I talk about, I'm like, she's going to get so mad about this. Yeah. Real mad. Like I said, it's like you're like, they go along with the joke. They have a line.
They have a line.
And they should. And keep in mind, we're talking about people that aren't comics. They just happen to be funny people. But like, we're not talking about comics here. Obviously, you can push us way further.
Yeah, because we get it. Like, have you ever dated a non-comic?
Remind me not to again.
Okay, yeah. Well, you're married, so. But
remind me not to. I dated a musician.
Yeah, I've dated one of those. But, you know, from an outsider's view, even non-comedy friends, they're like, you guys are real mean to each other. It's like, that's how we show love.
What are you talking about? It's how funny. Nice to be on the inside. Like, oh my God, you must think I'm funny because you think I can take a joke.
Yeah.
You must think I'm hilarious.
Yeah. And it's bad. It's complicated.
It's bad, though. When people listen in, it's like, it's bad. Like, if you heard the stuff that we say
mean things.
About each other. We're not
in a loving way.
In a loving way. Just so everybody knows, we're not walking around trash talking. It's making fun of the people you're currently with so they can defend themselves by making fun of you. It's razzing. It's just razzing. It's not bullying. You're in on it. And if somebody isn't, they just say so and it stops. Like I've had people be like, that really hurt my feelings. And I'm like, okay, I won't say it again. Sorry. Of course. I thought we were whatever, but you're of course.
Because then you say this.
We're all allowed to have a line. But yeah, the razzing, I'm in on that. And that's the thing. My mom, the razzing with my mom can only go so far.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, bless her. I'll just razz my dad. He's like wallpaper. What does he care?
Yeah, what does he care?
yeah, but you don't even know my dad. Yeah, what does he care?
I mean, dads are just like, okay.
Oh, yeah. A little, always just a little more of an eye roll out of a dad. Yeah. The mom's always like trying to change what's happening.
My dad is a sensitive man. He likes to pretend that he's not, but he can be sensitive.
Yeah. My dad's very, like, my dad lives for my mom. My dad is very chill, very calm, because my mom is way too much. Mm-hmm. If I'm any indication, my mom's way too much in a great, loving way. But my dad, we're a bit like white noise to him at this point in time, my siblings and I, because he just doesn't want to get involved. He's like, you know, it never ends well when I step in.
That's so funny.
It's not, yeah.
Is he a shy guy?
He is.
Or is he just like so fucking loyal to your mom?
He's just so loyal to my mom.
I'm so turned on by Steve from Sex and the City, by the way. So loyal to Miranda. So emotionally available.
It's just like my dad is so loyal. Anything for my mom. And my mom lives for her kids. So my dad will do anything for his kids. Do you know what I mean? Like the trickle down effect or whatever. And listen, with my mom, you know, with like being Arabic, family's everything.
Right.
So to my dad, it's like they're just investing in this like core foundation. So for my dad, it's like he wins. If his kids are happy and his wife is happy, he just gets to sit on his computer and do whatever he's doing. You know what I mean? Like he's happy. When there's stuff, it's like he doesn't want to get involved because he's like, I'm trying to do this other thing. It's a mess. You know I can't solve it. Why am I in? Exactly. You're like, you know I'm not going to say the right thing. You know, and he's so amazing, but it's like, yeah, he can't speak on all the subjects I'm bringing up.
Right.
It can only go so far. I'm sure you have the same thing. Yeah, my knowledge can only go so far.
Yeah. My dad, bless him, any emotion over neutral or happy, he can't handle. Too much happiness, he gets uncomfortable. You think we were allowed to get mad at my house? Yeah, no.
It's just not. And it's just how they grew up. You're just like, God, I said this to you before, but there's so many things that you're like, it's kind of not even your fault. Because you're like, with my dad, I'm just like, yeah, you think anyone in his family talked about emotions? They all lived in one room. They were just trying to survive. What are you talking? My dad had a job since he was 9. Like, I'm like, you think they were sitting here being like, let's open up about our feelings?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not. No. Get out there. Yeah. My dad was left in a, like, I don't know if I'm I'm allowed to talk about this, but you talked about like, and I think it was of the time because other people's parents have said this, like, just dropped off at a park for a little bit.
Oh my God, what are you talking about? Of course you can say that. That's everybody. What are you talking? Of course. Yeah. My dad just left to his own devices.
Yeah, 9.
Where is he? Dogs chasing him because he's stealing apples with my Uncle John. I mean, just like, my dad was going to bars since he was 15. Like, no tabs on him.
Yeah, people watch like shows and movies where it's like, I think the 80s or 90s, even the 70s, like you think now, oh, they're kids, but at 15, that was their 30.
Yeah, it's a way different time, dude, and way different sense of responsibility. Yeah. It's like, to me, I'm like, my parents will fix it.
Yeah.
And to them, they're like, no, my parents aren't doing anything for me.
No, they're not going to fix this. I got to fix this.
Wow. I hate to say it. We've neared the end. This is really bumming me out.
Okay. I'm so sorry I got so emotional. Ooh, that's me. I'm going to have to talk to Nina about this.
Okay, let's rehearse how you're going to...
Stop apologizing for my emotions.
Now, how are you going to
unapologize? Thank you so much for allowing me the space to express my emotions in such a safe environment.
You know what? I actually really appreciate you opening up, especially because I had, full disclosure, I had asked you before we started, is this something you're comfortable with, the top surgery? Mm-hmm. Can I bring it up? Because you had briefly said it in a text, and I did misread the text in which I thought you were buying surgery supplies like to do surgery, and I was like, what is this? I read it too
just a habit or just a hobby I got into because
I didn't read top. I just read surgery supply. Like, I didn't read the first part of it. So because I only looked at it quickly without my glasses. And I just thought you were buying surgery supplies. And I was like, I don't know. Sure. I'm going to have to ask about this. But it's like, I appreciate you coming on here and having a very honest and frank conversation about something I have not had the opportunity to talk in depth with anybody about. So I feel like I learned a lot. And I also just appreciate you showing your own growth to this audience here just from where the start of like being against being against it to now doing it, and like what a journey. And I'm so glad you shared that, because I'm sure other people are at different stages in which you've gone through right now. Mm-hmm. So how nice, and even post like your friend, I'm sure people are like, I'm so glad they're doing it. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure they're hearing you and they're like, yes, this is the right decision. But let's cover a few things. Mm-hmm. Tell us the more boring version. Where are you on social media for all the jokes? Okay. And then tell us about this fundraising. That's what I really want to hear.
Right. So, okay. So I'm on socials, all platforms ever, like the word, EverMaynard. Some people think it's spelled with a Y, Maynard. Instagram, Twitter. I'm not very active on TikTok, but maybe it'll blow up.
As Who knows? Anything could happen
overnight on social media. And the top surgery is a GoFundMe. And the links to that are all over my socials or at evermaynard.com.
Yeah, and we'll post that as well on self-esteem party and on my profile.
Thank you so much. And depending on when this comes out, when it will,
when would you like it to come out?
Well, I haven't announced it yet, but I'll announce it here. I'm doing a fundraiser show if you're in Los Angeles, January 7th at the Elysian called Tops.
Oh, this will come out before.
Okay. Great. Yeah. And, I'm looking into after my post surgery starting to, I'm a big believer in passing it forward, or giving forward. So I will be kind of hosting like a monthly show for other people, which I think is really nice and kind and a way to.
Can I do the show?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to go on the show and be like, here are all the reasons why I'm in support of this.
Yeah.
Because like, everybody's being super fucking chill just for showing up to the show. I think that's like saying so much about people. Yeah. It says so much about you for putting it on the show. And kudos to everybody in advance for supporting the show.
Amen.
You will get a lot of people at that show. Amen. Because people are just, you know, there's people that want to help like financially and stuff like that. But it's weird to just be like, do you want money when someone has not expressed that? It's kind of a weird thing to do. But this is such a great way for people being able to give without having to be invasive in terms of people's privacy and comfort. And that's really fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. I think too, like, to have these discussions, I know we're wrapping it up, but also, like, I understand I am in a unique position to have a great support friends and family. Some people do not have that. And if you're listening, or maybe you know someone and you don't understand, you know, depending on the demographic, but like, and you're like, I don't see why they would want to do that. Learning how to support them. And also like, you know, people that live in small towns that don't have access to, like, we live in a big city. So there's an LGBTQ center, right?
Yeah.
And there's internet, you know, sites and internet funds and grants. But then, you know, finding these people who need the help that would not get it because they live in a town of 5,000 people.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know who to reach out to. Being able to pass it on that way, too, to be like, here's a live show. These people are coming to support you.
Exactly.
And knowing, like,
we exist.
We are strangers, but we are behind you.
Yes.
Like, that is... That's powerful,
it's
right?
Everything. So and people just need to know they're not alone. Really, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, you just don't want to be alone.
You just don't want to be
alone. You're not alone. You know what? And you're not alone.
I'm going to say this that as just to quickly touch on what you said. I had met somebody kind a couple months back at a festival that was transitioning and had asked question because we were doing some advice about how to make friends in this small town when you feel kind of like not like everybody else or left out or transitioning and, you know, not getting the best reactions, right? And I said, you got to get out of the city as much as you can. Mm-hmm. As much as you can go to the nearest big city and just go out and whatever. I was like, you just need to know you're not by yourself. Do not let your town tell you. Do not let your town tell you. You tell them, and then you give them the middle finger and you fucking leave. If anybody has a problem, you're like, peas and grease, I'm out of here. Yeah. You guys enjoy your judgment.
Or you know what? If you love where you live, like...
Yeah, that's true too.
You get used to me.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes people do love the town. It's just not everybody has the reactions.
But you need... You are such a joy and a light. Anyways, we are going. This is another episode. Bottom line, we're getting hyped.
Take up space.
Take up your space.
Now, I'm going to get you verifying this on air so that you're held to it. So, we do, and everyone should subscribe. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/selfesteemparty, and we do a thing called Self-Esteem After Party, where people come back on, and we just chat about what's been going on since you first came on the podcast. Usually, I do it with, like, some time in between, but if you're up for it, whenever, because you said about a month, about what, so February, so March, or whenever you're kind of back here and in the game.
I'll be back in LA February 14th, Valentine's Day. Ladies, kiss me. I'll be back in LA on the 14th, and I'll probably be up to it the next weekend.
Okay, great. We would love to have you on to just give us a follow-up of literally, if you don't mind, of everything that happened, because I'm sure people like actually want to know the details of what happened. And then, of course, if you make the video, this is what, why we really need you back on. Yeah. Oh, we need you on for the video footage.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining. If you guys want to follow the podcast, we're at Self Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to follow me, I'm at the only Alana Johnson on Instagram and at Alana_Johnson on Twitter. Keep an eye. Again, we will be posting the GoFundMe. We will be tagging all the socials in which you have all that posted on there as well. And if anybody has any questions, concerns, anything to do with today's topic, please feel free to reach out. If I can't connect with you about something, I can point you in the direction of people that can. That's the beauty about this podcast. All sorts coming through. Ever, this has been a treat for me.
It's been a treat for me. Thank you so much. I needed this today.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your flat water.
Thank you so much.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body. Rock, rock, rock. It's the Self-Esteem Party.